Sponsoring this series of FFS, My Dad is Martin Kemp, is Norwegian Cruise Line, better known to some as NCL.
Right, well, look, Dad, listeners and watchers to this podcast will probably be feeling the English cold right about now.
I'll tell you what's not cold, bro. In your mum's bedroom.
Whoa!
Oh, no, why? Well, look, we didn't need to know that. But look, good news. To escape the cold, NCL offers more opportunities to visit the Caribbean with 13 ships sailing the region this year.
Oh, we've seen it for ourselves now, haven't we, Ro? I am going to cherish those father and son memories forever. We were on board Norwegian Encore for a week and it had all the bells and whistles. I mean, what was your favourite part, Ro?
Yeah, I mean, we have to mention the Encore Speedway, one of the only racetracks at sea and an NCL exclusive experience.
Ah, for sure. But what about all the entertainment? There's the Choir of Man and even the nightclub.
Yeah, I mean, you really enjoyed the Beatles tribute band, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. And the fact that they were even at the Cavern Club, which was actually inspired by the legendary Liverpool club where the Beatles regularly performed. It was absolutely amazing.
Norwegian Cruise Line offers more with its brand new More at Sea package. More to see, more to do, more to enjoy. Can you burp on purpose?
Oh, I've always wanted to, but I
can't do it.
You can't. I think it's something that runs in our family because lots of the kids in my school could do it.
Yeah, I can't. Everyone goes, oh, just swallow air and then push out, but it just.
Hey, there you go.
Have you ever done that?
No, I was just thinking, and this is going to be a really bad podcast because no one can hear it. But no, there you go. There's a burp.
I just can't do it.
I feel like I'm going
to
have a heart
attack. You're dying, yeah.
Hyperventilate all the way through this.
Yeah, no, I can't do it. But fart more than anyone I know.
Do you?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, one time.
Why? Is it because you what you eat?
No, I don't think so. Because I changed my diet.
What do you eat that makes you fart?
I don't know.
Well, it must be your diet.
Yeah, but I'm saying this is what I'm saying.
What you put in is what you get out.
Yeah, but I'm saying I change up my diet all the time. But it's like, so it's not like, maybe like I've got some intolerance, but I've taken one of those intolerance tests.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, you're fine.
But so usually, if you eat Chinese the night before, when you fart, you can smell Chinese. Can't you?
No.
You can. When you go,
I don't think.
If you have an Indian, right? And you have like a jalfrezi or a vindaloo.
Right, can
something.
I tell you now?
When you fart, you can smell it.
No, you can't.
You can smell it.
No, you don't.
I can. Goes in one end, out the other.
Dad, I can definitely say to you that I think the correlation between the smell of end product has never been the same as what it was on the way in.
For you?
Yeah, for me.
Well, for you? I don't think that's true.
Have a think about how much. Don't tell me.
Yeah.
Have a think about how many times in a day that you fart, right?
Yeah.
I'm just going to Google it.
Wow. All right. What are you trying to do? Work out?
No, because there's a stat, right?
So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Go on. So what do you have in a day?
It's probably 4 times an hour, right? So probably that is 48.
Yeah.
48 times during the day.
I don't know if that math is right.
What?
Does that make sense? Is that good?
48 times during
the day. Isn't
that
2 times an hour? That's 2 times
an hour. No, 12 hours.
Why is it 12 hours in a day?
Because that's the time I'm awake.
Right, okay.
Like usually when you're asleep, you're not farting all night, are you?
I definitely am.
You are? What, yeah. Even when you're asleep?
Yeah, definitely.
Do your farts wake you up sometimes?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. What was that?
No, absolutely. So 4 times 12, you're saying. So yeah, so 48.
48 plus probably 4 big ones during the night while I'm asleep.
Yeah, fine. So you're circa 50.
It's 50. Let's go 50.
Right, 50. Average, what do you think it is? 14.
14?
14.
No, I don't think people are telling the truth.
14.
No, they're lying to save their blushes.
They're saying, well, average seems to be a 14, 15. Those that have, in some cases, excessive flatulence can see up to 40 times. I'm beating the excessive.
Well, how many times you haven't
honestly,
told me yours yet?
Yeah, no, I think, yeah, I'm probably close to the same as you.
Yeah, maybe that's a Kemp thing.
No, but I think it is.
I'm going to ask Gary.
Gary does. No, Gary does.
How do you know this? Have
because
you
even when I was a kid, no, but even when I was a kid, like we used to stay at like Gary's house or something like that, like Finn is the same, like my cousin Finn, Gary's son. Gary's the same. Yeah. I think it's something in our. Did your parents fart?
I only ever heard my mum fart once.
Once.
And she completely ignored it, but it was the biggest fart I'd ever heard in my life. I was talking to her in the kitchen, right? And she was standing there, and my dad was in the living room. And and she was telling me something really serious, and I can't remember what it was. And all of a sudden, the biggest fart I ever heard. And my mum didn't even mention it. And look around, I'm thinking, where did that come from? For a moment, I thought it was me. And it wasn't.
What, so you just couldn't say anything?
She didn't say anything. She just ignored it. But why do we get more satisfaction from a big, loud one?
No, but I can't. I don't think I can fart quietly. I can't. I know I can't.
You just fart all day.
No.
I know you do.
No.
Yeah, but it's
never shit myself, though. I will say this. Never shit myself. Never shit myself during a fart. Never. In my life.
You what? You haven't, even when you're ill?
Never.
Oh my goodness! Never. I have.
The control I have, the control I have, honestly needs to be studied.
Really?
Yeah. You could tell me. You could probably say to me, if I felt one coming, and you said to me, right, give me 5 seconds worth, I could give you 5 seconds. If you say, give me half a second, I could give you half a second. It's almost like a musical instrument. I can.
All right, then during this chat,
if I feel it coming, I swear to God,
right? You're going to tell me, right? I've got one coming, and I'm going to tell you how to fart.
Yeah.
All right, then, we'll do it like that.
I swear to you, just tell me how long you need it.
All right.
And tonally.
The next time it comes, I want to see a fart that lasts 3 seconds, right? 3 seconds, and I want it to start with a bang and go out with a little kind of whisper.
I don't know if it can start with a bang. That's the only problem.
Would you like a crescendo at the end?
Yeah,
right. We'll put a crescendo at the end.
We can always. You got starting with a bang is tough to bring it back.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah.
Let's put the crescendo at the end, and you try and do that for me while we are chatting at some point.
Yeah.
Right. I won't feel like bad if you stop me at any point during this chat.
Yeah.
And say, Dad, I want to fart.
No, I will. I just feel sorry for the other people in this room.
Because farting is weird, isn't it? Because people say, oh, don't worry, but you know, it's only a bit of wind. But it's wind that has been sitting around your poo inside your stomach.
Yeah.
It's wind. And that's why it smells, because it has been sitting around your poo and then people around in the office swallowing it in.
Yeah, but we all do it.
When I was in the band, I think I told you this before, didn't I? When I was in the band, when we were like in, getting ready to go on to do a television or something, you know, we were in the dressing room, and I knew that I had a fart coming, I would find an empty wardrobe.
Oh, yeah, they told you, yeah.
Yeah, find an empty wardrobe, yeah, go in there, and the echo chamber was unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah,
it was the loudest thing you've ever heard.
All right, well, shall we get into it properly?
Yeah, let's change the subject. Let's get off of farting, shall we?
All right, well, I have noticed one thing.
Yeah, what?
You've put up a don't touch sign around your sexiest man alive trophy.
Yeah, I put that up.
So that,
because it's broken.
It's broken
now.
You broke it. Yeah, all right, that's fair enough.
It wasn't the sexiest man alive. It was sexiest man in soap.
Oh.
At the time.
Oh, that's quite a low bar, isn't it?
Yeah, but...
You versus Adam Wood, yeah?
Still
no offense to Adam, good looking fella, but
very important award.
Fair. I saw. Do you remember Casey Ainsworth, Little Mo?
Yes, I do. Yeah,
she was on the one show.
Oh, was she? How was she?
She was saying, "Lovey Sus." She said that you would give great advice.
Really?
That's what she said.
Like what?
I don't know. That's what I said. She can't remember.
Advice about what?
Life.
Love life. Love?
Love life.
What? Well, I don't know. What advice did I give her?
I don't know.
It's got me panicked now.
No, good advice.
Oh, right.
Like she said, she was like, oh, you was always really great at giving advice on things and stuff like that.
Yeah, you know what I like. I'll give advice to everyone.
She tells a great story about...
No one ever takes it.
Barbara Windsor, she told a great story about her.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, even I remember, like, when I was little and you took me to EastEnders set, and I remember looking behind the bar... Mm. And she's got all the flipped over beer crates because she was too small.
Yeah, yeah. Barbara was beautiful, though. She was. It was a real thrill for me because I grew up with Barbara, right?
Yeah.
I grew up with Barbara watching her on all the Carry On films, and she was an icon. I can't tell.
Did everyone fancy her? Was that the thing?
Who?
Barbara Windsor.
Did
everyone fancy her? Was that like the thing?
No.
Because she was in all the Carry On films. I swear she was like the love
interest. Oh, yeah. Well, she was like the glamour girl.
Yeah.
And when I was a kid, you know, she was like my... if I thought of sex, then I thought of Barbara Windsor because that's who she was.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And she was beautiful. But she also, during her lifetime, she went out with Reggie Cray.
Yeah, that's mental.
Who I played in the Cray Twins.
In the Cray Twins, yeah.
So when I got together with Barbara, we had this kind of thing in common, you know. And I got on so well with her. She was such... I can't tell you. People say a lot of nice things about her, but she was a beautiful, beautiful lady.
Yeah. I always have been nice memories. I only met her a couple of times when I was a kid. And then I met her as an adult as well. Her and I did Blackpool Illuminations together, which is really random. Yeah, like me and her did the Illuminations. It was really strange, but it was she was amazing. Like, you know, and her husband as well is so nice.
Scott,
really lovely man.
Yeah, who now, you know, he's fighting for awareness.
Yeah, he's
taken that on after
Barbara.
Barbara went through.
But I just remember, like, if you imagine like the bar at the Queen Vic.
Yeah.
Behind it, right? So then there was like beer crates, all just like almost like a track.
Yeah.
Like a little train track of beer crates that she would then walk along.
Yeah.
And then that would be just so that she could put her head above the bar. It's so funny.
But we've always done that in film. People have always stood on apple boxes, what they call them.
Yeah.
What you use to get some height. We've always done that.
Tom Cruise apparently stands on them all the time.
Yeah, no, he has the apple boxes stuck to his shoes, I think.
You reckon?
Yeah, so he walks around on them.
The Simon Cowell heel.
Yeah, the heel. Yeah,
I was always surprised.
Big heel,
about
the platform shoe.
I was always surprised about how small Simon Cowell was when I first met him. That was the thing that I noticed.
Well, he is small, isn't he?
Yeah,
but his head's really big.
Yeah,
so it kind of makes up for it.
Yeah, it's a bit disproportionate. But
yeah, listen, I mean, you know, like those bobbleheads you used to get.
Yeah,
you know.
You know Simon back in the day, no? Like, who was Simon back in the day? That's what I never understand. Like, because I know, obviously, he was, like, mates with Sunita. But, like, in the 80s, who was he? Because mum seems to know him more than you do.
Simon knew my mum, I think. But not my mum.
That's what I was going to say.
Simon knew your mum.
Yeah. Simon, yeah.
She wanted to make my mum a hit.
Yeah.
I don't think our paths crossed during the 80s. Mine and Simon's.
Well, look, this is the longest intro I think we've ever done. We've covered a lot of ground.
It's not really an intro. Thanks for call the end in a minute.
Yeah, I know. But look, thanks for listening. we'll see you next week. No, I'm joking. We've got to get around to this question.
Yeah.
Because you've been so good, and thank you so much at sending in some wonderful ideas for questions.
Well, are people still listening?
My dad, I think so. Otherwise, it's just mum just changing the name every time.
Yeah.
This one from Andrew in London. Take a listen to this. It says, can I hear you both talk about masculinity? I have just become a dad to a little boy. My dad raised me to believe that masculinity is about strength and not showing emotions, but I just don't know about that anymore. Some guidance, please.
Some guidance? Do you think I gave you guidance on masculinity when you were a kid?
No, not once.
No, and I don't think you should as well.
No.
You should let somebody be themselves. I think that's the guidance that I would give.
Yeah.
I think masculinity for me is something that lived in the past. I think you should be free to choose who you want to be at the moment.
Yeah.
I don't think there should be such thing as masculinity. Yeah, I don't think masculinity is something that lives in today's society. I don't think, you know, what is masculinity?
Well, it does in some aspects.
What is it, though?
Do you want me to give you the definition?
Yeah. I bet it's really cheesy, like men that have kind of muscles and are alpha male.
No, I don't think. Masculinity is qualities or attributes regarded as characteristic of men or boys. Yeah, you're a little bit right. Handsome, muscled, and driven.
There you go.
He's a prime example of masculinity.
Yeah, that's what I would have said. But I don't think they live in today's society. I was really lucky, right, that most of my friends when I was a young teenager, when I'm talking about 17, 18, most of them, apart from the boys in the band, most of them were gay, right? And I grew up with this idea that boys didn't have to be masculine. I grew up with lots of my friends being almost effeminate.
Yeah, you know? But that's in London.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. You were also in it. Yeah, I know. Totally. That's the way you grew up. But, but you also grew up within one of the nichest crowds and were part of a movement. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like
that whole new romantic thing.
Yeah, exactly.
It didn't matter who you were. That's why I love.
No, I think that's where I think the word androgynous came from, things like that. But what's interesting, right, is masculinity in terms of a word doesn't really come into the world as much until the 80s.
Is that right?
Yeah. Look at the mentions of the word masculinity in like, and this is through books and literature or anything like that, right? I'll show you this graph. So if you see the spike in it comes in mid 80s.
See, but
early 90s, mid 80s, that's when all of a sudden masculinity becomes a real thing within books. In fact, I can give you the exact year, 1985.
Yeah.
What is the reason behind that? Like is that, do you know what I think it is? I think it's all of a sudden you've got the start of the action movie.
Oh.
Do you know what I mean? And I think masculinity is driven by like the idea of what masculinity is almost like alongside the action movie.
Yeah. I kind of get where you're coming from, but there is
Die Hard and things like that.
Something that is inbuilt in boys. Like I was lucky enough to have Harley, a little girl, and you, a little boy, one of each. So I saw both kind of grow up. And I think in boys, there's something that anytime that you picked up a stick when you were a kid and you were out playing in the garden, right?
Yeah.
It became a gun. It became a sword. It became something to hit someone with, right?
Yeah.
Harley picked up a stick. It became like a paintbrush or a witch's broom or something like that. It was far more feminine what she was making, if there were the things that were happening in her head. But for you, it was far more about, I want to be an alpha male.
Yeah,
I want to be the man with the gun, the leader when I grow up. And I was like that when I was a little boy as well.
But do you think the way that you brought us up was because of what was put in front of us as opposed to what we decided?
A little bit of both.
Because I think it's hard not to, right?
Yeah.
It's like
a little bit of both.
Yeah.
I gave you what you wanted. I gave you like the Batman character that you used to be in love with.
Yeah.
Right? Who is like this alpha male.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
Right. I gave you that, but I also didn't impose anything on you, you know, telling you not to cry in front of, you know, when you feel sad.
Yeah.
I wanted you to like be in touch with your emotions so that I think that's a really important thing. I think it's the number one important thing that every man that I get on with, right, that becomes a friend of mine, right?
Yeah.
Though that's very rare.
Yeah.
But becomes a friend of mine, has a big feminine side. And I can feel that. That is soft inside and I can touch it almost. For me as a friend, that is really important. I don't get on with people that are just kind of.
But you see what I mean? It's like, no, I know. So you're separating. What I would say is I don't think there's anything wrong in masculinity. I think where we're at now as a society is like, we're almost like venturing the wrong way where it's like, cool, don't show any signs of what could be considered masculinity.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think what you then do is you're then harming people, not harming people, but you're deterring people from being who they are and who they want to be.
You're
right. It can go the other way.
You're right.
Do you know what
this is what I was saying.
You can be proud of being a man.
You've got to let the little kids, you've got to let them grow into themselves.
Yeah.
And you mustn't push them into one thing or one area or the other. Yeah. Because usually if you try and push somebody into something, they it works in reverse.
Yeah.
And they end up going the other way just to test you.
Yeah.
And you have to let people be themselves.
But I think masculinity as a phrase, right? If you're saying it is, if like what it's defining it as
yeah.
you know, it's defining it as saying this thing of being like, okay, attributes to a man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? That's what it is. What, yeah, I think masculinity can be defined in different eras. And I think it's also understandable. I don't think it should be like, what I think sometimes we tend to do is try to wash away what society was like back in the day.
Yeah.
And claim that as pure negative. But it's not, because society is evolving. If anything, you should always look back and see, okay, what's the evolution of you know, how things have gone?
Yeah.
Like, and is it positive or negative in your view? Right. So for instance, I don't think we can look back at the 1920s and see the difference between men and women and say, God, that is so terrible.
Yeah.
I don't think so, because at the time that's what society was, and that's where we were as a human race.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas I think if you look at it now, like if you look at masculinity and what it is now, you could probably include like attributes to a man now. Probably 90% of my mates have a skin routine before they go to bed. Do you know what I mean?
But is that now
an attribute that isn't masculine?
I've got you. But is, because you have a skin routine or you look after your hair and your appearance, is that feminine or is that masculine?
No, but I'm saying, but if the definition of masculinity is attributes to a man, right?
Yeah.
Then surely a modern man, the attributes will change based on what that modern man is.
Yeah, of course. I mean, if you look
at what the majority is. So you could define a characteristic of a man now is someone probably that has a skincare routine.
Yeah, no, yeah, but we've gone through stages where it's been far, far more extreme than that. What about dandies, right? When the dandies were around.
Is the dandy?
A dandy is kind of like that. Let me get it right. Give me a definition of a dandy.
Oh, here we go. So a dandy is a man unduly concerned with looking stylish and fashionable.
But what era was that?
A man, it's also something that you would call someone, here we go. A man who is very concerned with how he looks can be called a dandy. The term is rather old fashioned, much like you. It was commonly used to refer to such men in the 1800s.
1800s, yeah.
Like the famous dandy Beau Brummel.
Oh, there you go.
As an adjective, dandy means excellent. If you think your new car is dandy, you're excited to own such a great car.
Yeah, dandies of the 1800s, right? They were looking after themselves. They became quite feminine in the way that were.
But that's what I'm saying. So that but that's why I'm so intrigued that like masculinity as a word only kind of came into literature from the 80s.
Yeah, and I think you may be right. It most probably is the big old action films.
But I also think that you clearly had a movement in the 80s where people being androgynous, you know, people being gay was more of a topic, where you kind of felt like there were men that weren't gay felt like they had to exert their masculinity and be like, no,
I'll give you
this gay stuff. I'm a man and masculinity and all this type of stuff.
But when I very first walked into the Blitz nightclub, right, which was the base of the New Romantics movement in London, and I first walked into that club, very first time, I was kind of like hit in the face. It was a world unto itself. There were boys kissing boys and girls kissing girls, and everything was just taken as absolute normal. It was the ambiguity, this sexual ambiguity. What's the word?
Sexual ambiguity. Ambiguity?
No.
Ambiguity.
Ambiguity.
That's
the
it.
The sexual ambiguity was brilliant. It was perfect. But outside of that nightclub, in the middle, the beginning of the 80s, hell was breaking loose on the streets. You know, you had football violence, you had boys that were really showing out their masculinity.
But, what was that? What was that film?
It was different to everything else.
What was that film? It's a Sin. Oh, it wasn't a film. It was a TV series. Yeah, Ollie Alexander.
Yeah,
It's a Sin.
Yeah, yeah.
Was that like it was? Because that kind of portrays it as like people would come to London to be gay.
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
Because they were getting out of like rural towns in the UK and being
It wasn't accepted anywhere else. But if you came to nightclubs in London, it was accepted. I mean, I was hanging out with Steve Strange, my best friend when I was a kid growing up. And we wouldn't even dream of going to heterosexual clubs. We would go to gay clubs all the time because they were more fun. Although I was...
How are you not gay?
Because I was always quite happy.
That's the weirdest question I think anyone's ever asked their dad, but how are you not gay?
Because I was always happy with my sexuality. You know, I knew I didn't fancy boys, but, you know, I knew that.
I always kind of feel the same.
My best friends did. I actually think it's one of the best things that ever happened to me, you know, because it showed me a different side of life. It showed me to accept everybody for who they are.
What? Sorry, that you were around those people?
Yeah.
What did your mum and dad think about it?
They quite liked it. You know, Steve...
Because that's not normal.
No, but Steve Strange one morning stayed over at my mum and dad's house with me, and not in the same room we were looking at it, but he stayed over at my mum and dad's house, and in the morning I go up to the kitchen, and there he is with my mum smoking a cigarette. She's in her dressing gown, and Steve is in his Robin Hood outfit.
Right.
And my mum and dad didn't even blink. They didn't even think about it.
Yeah.
You know, they just took him because he was a nice guy.
But did they ever talk to you about being gay?
I think a couple of times, probably, when I walked out of the house in a dress, I think my mum and dad worried about me and thought, which way is he leaning? Not worried. I think my mum and dad were in a position where they were happy to see me be whoever I wanted to be.
Like, did you... Okay, so, but like, did they know Steve was gay?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
But that says enough to me that they didn't really care, because they're like...
No, they...
Because granddad's still like, stay over, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. My mum and dad didn't care. My mum and dad were open to all sorts of things, you know. I mean... You got to remember, you know, I was in a band when I was 17, right? So all, you know, it was a weird situation.
You're lucky,
anyway.
Though, because a lot of people from, Nan and Grandad's age at that time.
Yeah, yeah.
Being introduced. I mean, look, watch that, you know, as in that television show, you can see it. Like, so many people so terrified of coming out as gay.
Sadly, you know, it was for such a short period in the 80s, because before you knew it, AIDS was upon us and it disappeared. You know, that fun of young kids being gay.
Did you actively stop going to gay clubs when that happened?
Yeah, but I think most people did. Yeah.
Because everyone was terrified.
Yeah, and most people did. Things were closing down, you know. But even not just gay clubs, it was guys that were going to ordinary clubs, boys and girls, heterosexuals, were scared of having sex. Everybody was scared of approaching somebody new to take home.
Yeah. It
wasn't just gay guys.
Well, what is everyone?
It was absolutely everyone. It kind of stopped. There was a wall. When AIDS appeared, it was just a wall that came down, and the nightclubbing, everything just died.
What do you think you would have done if I had said, I want to wear a dress?
I don't think I would have done anything.
I don't think you would have done
anything at all. I think I would have been quite happy to see you grow up to be who you are. And that's not just saying it because we're sitting here.
Yeah.
That's the person that I am. Yeah. And I think mum would be exactly the same.
Mum tells me sometimes she was upset that I wasn't a girl. Or sometimes she was... A lot of the time, I know I'm bringing the gay chat up again, but she has said to me on several occasions, I always used to wish you were gay. And I was like...
Why?
I don't know.
That's a strange thing to say.
She said...
I know why, because you would bring home all your gay friends.
Yeah, or I don't think even...
Who love a little bit of fashion.
No. See, but that's what I'm saying, but you're generalising.
No, of course I am.
Yeah, but that's what I mean.
But that's how I know all my gay friends
were. Yeah, I know. But that's what I'm saying, it's different now. But that's why I think it's so like... I don't know, it's such an interesting one. I think
masculinity has changed?
I think masculinity has...
Moved on.
Yeah.
For the better?
Yes and no. I think
what's the no bit then?
Well, there's toxic masculinity.
Yeah.
You understand what that
is? Yeah.
And that is...
Just explain it to me, just in case I've got it wrong.
Yeah, so toxic masculinity is when those traits have negative impacts or negative connotations around them.
Yeah, yeah.
So, for instance, you've got someone like this Andrew Tate fella.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, right? Yeah, got you.
I don't understand how people don't watch that and think, is this a pantomime?
Yeah, it is. Like, it is a pantomime.
Genuinely, like...
Yeah. It's a horrible pantomime.
No, but I'm like, is this meant to be, like, funny?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Do you know what? I so can't understand it.
But he's not funny, though.
No, I'm saying, like, it's so far-fetched.
Yeah.
That it's... comedic.
It's like, it's not on this planet.
No,
what he's doing. What
no,
he's talking about.
I seen him the other day, and he said he was doing a thing for Porsche or whatever, and he goes, Porsche want me to look at this car, and they want me to review this car, and that's quite a good impression. He's got that strange accent.
Where does it come from?
He's English, but he's got an American twang.
Oh right, okay.
They want me to review this car. And he goes, oh, now it's asking me all this gay shit. It's asking me for data. That's gay. It's like, he sounds like an 11-year-old boy at school.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, like, not joking. Like,
no, you're absolutely right. He hasn't grown up.
No, but honestly, there's a part of me that's thinking, this is banter.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
This has to be Alan Partridge. Like, it's Partridge levels.
It is, yeah.
That's what I mean. Yeah. It's like someone trying to create a character that is not, and that's what I mean. But people like that are quite dangerous.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
In my opinion, dangerous.
He is definitely toxic.
Dangerous. No, because I hear it.
Well, because he's trying to coerce other men to be like him.
Yeah, but like. I don't know. It's really strange for me because also,
or he's appealing to other men that are like him.
I don't know how, because genuinely, like, it's to me. Listen, I am someone that you can be who you want to be, and I honestly think this, right? You can be who you want to be. I don't mind. Go live your life how you want to live it.
So you just said that. So let's go forward like a couple of years, right?
Yeah.
And you've just had a little boy.
Yeah.
How are you with your kid? How do you see yourself being?
I've always answered this the same way. I just want that person to be happy. Like absolutely. Like,
so if you see your boy walking out the house in a dress,
the only thing
do you say anything to him?
No, don't care. Do what you
don't
want.
Don't care.
Do.
Yeah.
But I think the only thing that would upset me is if they don't like football. And that's,
yeah.
Both that's what I said.
They've got no chance of that, though, bro.
But that's what I mean.
That's all you have on the telly.
That is the only thing that will upset me. Yeah. Like, literally, they could be.
I know one other thing that might upset you more.
What?
They support Tottenham.
Yeah, no, they're not happening.
Yeah.
See, that is where people are like, would you step in on your child's sexuality? Would you step in on your child's, you know, appearance or things like that?
Yeah.
No, but. If that little fucker says I'm supporting Spurs, best believe that's a hard no.
Well, I'll tell you what happened with you, right? Is that when you were a little boy, you had the murmurings of supporting Chelsea.
I know.
Yeah, because you liked the football kit and you wanted to wear that blue.
Well, everyone had Zola.
And then it was the same year that Arsenal did the double.
Yeah.
Right? And I took you down to Highbury Corner to see Arsenal coming round on that open top bus holding up the trophy. And I held you up and I said, that it was like the moment in like Simba.
Lion King.
It was Lion King. And I held you up and I said, that is your team. And you went, Arsenal. And there we go.
Do you know what I think about? Thank God that Nan and Grandad supported Arsenal and were from where they're from.
Yeah.
Because that's something that's with you for life.
Yeah, yeah.
You get passed down that where you're from defines terrifying. What football team you support.
It's terrifying.
Imagine if we were in Wolves.
Terrifying.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
the poor people of Wolves.
No, Carlisle. Sorry, Carlisle fans. But like, Come on. Like, you must be going, like, how's your luck?
Bro, how is your luck? Just imagine.
And don't get me wrong.
Just imagine how bad it is if you were born in White Hart Lane.
No, I know. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. And you're with that for the rest of your life. A big thank you to the sponsor of this series of FFS, My Dad is Martin Kemp, Norwegian Cruise Line, or NCL for short. Can you believe that not that long ago we were sailing the Caribbean, Dad?
Honestly, Ro, take me back. I mean, what were your highlights?
I'm not going to lie. I went into it prepared to love the Encore Speedway, one of the only racetracks at sea and an NCL exclusive experience, or probably the Aquapark, featuring two multi-story water slides. I mean, come on. But I actually love the downtime.
Tell me about it. We couldn't get you out of the spa. What was that treatment you loved again?
It was the LMS facial, actually. What about you? What were your highlights?
For me, it was the food and drink. You, me and Shirley, we probably ate the best we've eaten in years. I mean, there was so much to choose from every night.
Yeah, I remember well. You struggled to choose.
Yeah, I mean, it was a challenge, wasn't it? Was I in the mood for steak or perhaps popping into the French bistro, a Japanese restaurant, or even that Italian cuisine? I tell you what, Ro, I just enjoyed it all.
Yes, I remember very well. You were looking through the menu for 2 hours. Norwegian Cruise Line offers more with its brand new More at Sea package. More to see, more to do, more to enjoy. But look, I want to go back to this chat, because the thing is as well, is another thing that I think people tie in with this masculinity chat,
yeah,
is mental health, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Because that's what they do.
Yeah.
They go, it's always the same.
In which way?
I get talked about it a lot, and it's a lot of, a lot of people will say, I do a lot of those mental health talks.
Of course you do, right? Yeah, yeah. And good for you as well.
The thing that, hey, listen, I don't want to be doing them.
No,
I'm in a situation.
Great job, and no, people look to you. I can't tell you the amount of people that come up to me and say, I just want to say thank you for what Roman's doing, because he's helped my son or my daughter so much.
Yeah, but yeah, see, that's the thing. Like, but people still associate it always with men.
Yeah, yeah.
And part of, I think, masculinity,
yeah,
is, the version of masculinity that people think there is you don't talk about your emotions.
Yeah.
Right? That is viewed as a feminine thing.
Right.
I have a slight problem with it, because I think we've actually progressed in the world, and I think that's not the case as much anymore. Mm. I think there's still...
It might not be amongst your friends.
No, I totally,
I think,
and I understand
outside
that.
Of your friend group,
yeah,
I think it still exists.
No, totally, totally. I think
men have that problem.
But I think that's a trait of what I would say is, you know, that's a... Yeah, it's a bad trait that I think men can have, which is this failure to deem, you know, and that's where I want to know. I want to know, and I want to look through history. Yeah. Is at what point was it deemed unmasculine to talk about your feelings and your emotions?
Yeah,
because there must have been a point.
Yeah,
that went clunk, yeah, like that, because if you look through time, but we're always quite good scribes. And
is that about masculinity, not wanting to talk about how you feel, and if you, because it makes you look weak?
Now, this part of the podcast does discuss suicide. If now isn't the right time to listen, please do take care of yourself and switch off. Help is always available. You can contact the Samaritans 24 hours a day at 116 123. My thing is this, right? So again, going back to what we said, masculinity, yeah, is the definition of attributes. The definition of masculinity is attributes related,
sure,
to a man.
Yeah.
All I ever get told within the mental health space is, oh, women don't kill themselves because they're better at talking to their mates, which, by the way, isn't the truth.
Right.
That's not real.
Well, let me just say, you know, my brother went through a really rough time recently, which, yeah, he was been talking about on TV, so I'm not breaking anything,
yeah,
new. He went through a rough time recently. We were suffering terrible anxiety, but it took him probably 3 or 4 months before he called me up to talk to me about it.
Yeah.
And me and Gary are really close. You know, and I don't think he was doing that because he was being masculine. I know I'm a man, I'm not going to talk to my brother about it. He just, I don't think he wanted to accept it himself. is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, but as soon as he started talking to me about it and he opened up, he started to feel better. Which, so it does work.
I think it's more of a societal thing, like when it comes to when the link between what is viewed as toxic masculinity leads to poor mental health.
Yeah.
I get it, but I think it's more where society is in that moment and what's being projected onto that person.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
a person is more likely to feel down with who they are based upon what are the norms in that moment. So a lot of men will kill themselves over thinking that they're not where they should be in their life.
That's right. I think that's got a lot to do with it. I think people that haven't achieved what they think they should be achieving.
Yeah.
Plays heavily on men.
I think it's more down to achievements than, I'm not as open than the other man. I'm not this person.
Like in my life, what happened was lots of the guys that didn't get to where they thought they were going to get to when we were all like young, ambitious, just turned 20, started taking heroin.
Yeah.
And so they went off that route. And it was almost like as if they could blame that drug for not achieving their ambitions.
Yeah.
And it was that more than suicide at that point.
But that's it. I've done all the chats with people, right?
You know more than anyone else around.
No, but I'm saying like I've done all the chats with the doctors, the scientists, the people around the country, the police teams, the emergency services teams. So the number one thing that always gets said to me, right? Like literally the same sentence comes up. Oh, you do that stuff on this. This will be from a woman or a man.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
You do all that stuff on mental health. I say, yeah. And they go, terrible for the men, isn't it? Terrible for the men. And you go, yeah, but what they're not understanding is that, like, and this is what I try to sum up, and this is why my push isn't on men anymore. I don't deem poor mental health as a masculine problem.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, that's not what I'm dealing with, like, in my head. Because when you speak to the emergency services teams, when you speak to the the triage teams that go out. So basically if someone calls up and says, I want to kill myself, or if someone calls up and says, I'm about to, or I've just attempted to, or something like that, a triage team of usually a mental health expert or a nurse, mental health nurse will be sent with a police officer.
Right.
So you have,
so there's three of them.
It's called a triage, but it'll just be someone from the NHS usually, or like a qualified nurse, qualified nurse and police officer. So it's not just police or ambulance.
Yeah.
Cause you can't differentiate the two.
Yeah.
Cause the situation is a police situation, but you need ambulance. So they'll go. And from the ones that I've spoken to, they will tell me that 80 to 90% of call outs that they get are female. At the 100% of people that are saying that they want to kill themselves or that they are at that point where they want to take their own life, the majority of them are female. So you then tell me, is mental health a male or female problem?
So why are we all talking about suicide and mental health as if this is a man's problem?
Because
But why has that been created?
Right, this is really dark and is quite a triggering conversation for a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The issue that you have is around what the police would call a completed suicide.
Right.
There is a difference.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, so somebody who's trying to do it or somebody who's actually done it.
Yeah. Again, another problem that I have is when people call suicidal attempts cries for help, which I don't believe in.
Yeah.
I don't believe in. I think if you're in that situation, I think you are teetering on something serious.
Yeah.
Right?
You're not crying for your help.
No.
You're trying to do it.
No. Yeah. And a lot of the times, let's say, the police will call something a completed suicide.
Yep.
Based upon whether or not that person has died before got there.
Yeah, of course.
Has that person died when they've arrived? Or are they still living?
Yeah.
Men will use more final methods.
Yeah.
In their approach.
More force.
Yes.
I also know, several people that have tried to commit suicide and been unsuccessful. Several times.
Do you want to know a really interesting fact?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'll tell you this now. And it's good that you said that.
Yeah.
So you know they're now trying to change the language around. So and people that listen to this can now know it. Is you can't say, or we're trying to move away from the language of commit suicide.
Right.
Because.
So what do you use now?
But the reason being behind it, and it's really like quite a nice reason behind it.
Yeah.
Is because there was a lady, I don't want to get this wrong, but I might get it wrong. So apologies if I do.
Yeah.
I think there is a lady from the Northeast who lost her son.
Yeah.
To suicide.
Right.
And if you, the act of committing suicide is deemed an illegal act.
Yes.
If you are to commit something, you are deemed doing something illegal. So the language behind it and changing the thing of saying, because otherwise it then goes written down saying your last act here on earth is something illegal and you're a criminal.
Yeah, you broke the law.
Yeah.
The last thing you ever did.
Which is ridiculous.
Yeah, right? For sure.
It's ridiculous that it should even be considered a law, right? It's your own life. It should
about
be in
it now,
your own hands.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. So the language around that, this lady then tried to change.
Right.
In
And are they doing that?
And they do. Yeah, they do now.
So now you would say
that person took their own life.
Okay, got you.
So that's what you can say.
Yeah, but is it still illegal? Have you broken the law if you suicide?
Do you know what? I don't think it is. Is it still?
Or is it because it's kind of understood more nowadays? It's not as frowned on as it used to be. You know, if somebody when I was a kid, somebody I knew took their own life.
No, can I take?
Yeah, go on.
It was 50 years, it was 60, 65, 65 years ago, it was illegal.
Right.
So it's been 65 years since it was said it's not, we don't classify it as an illegal act.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So it's not illegal anymore. So to say that someone has committed suicide shouldn't be the phrase.
Yeah.
Because basically what this mum was saying is every time you talk about my son, you're saying that he's
broken the law.
He's a criminal.
Yeah, he's a criminal.
And that's not the case.
Yeah.
So now in language.
Yeah.
And like, say for instance, when I only learned about this when I was doing the first documentary.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm not here going, oh, I knew from the beginning. No. Like, yeah. I would say that. But then they were like, you know, the BBC educated me in saying, you know, oh,
yeah.
They changed the language around it.
Because when I was a little boy, I always remember my mum, a friend of my mum's took her own life, and my mum couldn't even say it.
Yeah.
You know, she was like, come to suicide.
Yeah.
Couldn't even say it, get the words out.
Dad, the most, I swear to you, right, the most whispered word I have ever seen in my life is people go to me, you do all that stuff about.
Yeah, yeah.
And I go, what? And they go,
why is it? Why is it like that?
I don't know. They're uncomfortable. But you understand it. Like, listen, I'm not here going, oh, what are all these people whispering about? Yeah. You understand it because but it comes back to the point where it used to be an illegal thing.
Of course.
Do you know what I mean? And it's like, you know, I even though now I've met parents now that have lost their kids to suicide. You can still say that you've lost someone to suicide.
Yeah, yeah.
It is still suicide.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just the committing part.
The commit.
You know, you take that away.
Yeah.
But you know, I know parents that have lost their kids to suicide or whatever, and they've told me that at the first point they covered it up. That they told their friends.
I know people who,
that they died in a car crash.
Yeah, yeah.
I know people that have said, they said, oh, you lost your son, how? And they'll say, oh, he died in hospital.
But maybe what you're doing and the way that you go around talking about it, this is opening it up.
No, but I don't think it's, but this is the thing. This isn't like, I'm not bringing up this conversation so that you can say, oh, it's so great what you're doing. Genuinely.
I'm not saying that.
No, I know. But what I'm saying
what I think about.
No, I know. But for anyone listening, I don't want to feel like that because it's just like, I actually think, and this is why going back to masculinity.
Listen, let's get it right. I worry about you doing this. You know, I worry about it because
Why?
I know that, well, I know that from being an actor, when you kind of convince yourself and you talk about things so much, that it would come down heavy on you, on your, you know.
Yeah, totally.
On your psychological health.
Yeah.
That's what I worry about from you doing this.
But mine was.
But listen, I appreciate you doing it. And I think what you're doing is great for everybody else. But I worry about the effects of it on you.
Yeah, totally. I mean, yeah, but mine came from like a traumatic experience.
Of course.
And the reason why I do the talks is because...
Losing your friend.
Yeah, but I'm saying like the reliving the trauma for me actually helps me.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it actually, like you dilute it. The more that...
The more you talk about it, the more it dilutes the story. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you kind of almost become semi-detached.
Yeah, of course you do, yeah.
It becomes like what happened to you in your life.
Yeah.
And you're more likely to understand that that was in the past, that's happened.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think why I bring it up with this topic is because I think that there's so much chat when it comes to masculinity. Again, another trait that they have is men don't talk about their feelings and stuff like this, which I do think actually is changing.
Yeah, but do you think women talk about their feelings more than men? Do you think they're happy to do that?
Yeah, I think so.
This is what goes back to some of it is inbuilt.
No, it is inbuilt. I don't think it has necessarily a way up on suicide.
No, I
classify the two things as suicide. That's why I think that when people talk to me about mental health and they go, oh, it's all so bad for the men. I think it's pretty bad for women.
Yeah.
I mean, Dad, you and I come from a family who my great-great-nan, your great-nan, was in a mental asylum because she had... postnatal depression.
Oh, yeah, no.
What?
No. Of course.
She was.
Yeah, I know.
Because she had postnatal depression.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is, in itself, mental.
Yeah.
Like that's madness.
Yeah.
Like, the amount of people that, like they said that, like...
But in those days, whoever people couldn't cope with, they just said, yeah, they're mad, get them away, put them inside.
No, I know, but that's what I'm saying. It's just, I think it's just an understanding. Like, you know, when we did that first documentary, right?
DNA.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm talking about my suicide one.
Oh, right, yeah.
When I did that one,
yeah.
You know, from that point, so like from 2020 till 2025, you look at the mental health crisis, right, that they talk about. You can look at this in two ways.
Yeah.
I choose to look at it in the positive way. So mental health has on paper gotten worse from 2020 to 2025, right?
Right.
Positive or negative? You tell me.
What do you mean?
Admissions for suicide or admissions for suicidal help or admissions for, you know, CAMHS, you know, has gotten worse over the last 5 years. Sorry. Numbers have gotten higher over the past 5 years.
Yeah.
Positive or negative, in your opinion?
It's got to be a positive thing, isn't it?
Why do you think it's positive?
Well, it's got to be positive because more people are putting their hands up saying, I need help.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And that's what we've created,
a
pathway for people to be able to do that.
Precisely. And that's why I think it should be celebrated that actually all of that shit has been there
forever.
Forever.
It's just that people are starting to realize that there's a tunnel and a way out of it.
See, I didn't. I didn't. Until like last year, I looked at it like, what's the point? Like, genuinely, I looked at it like, what's the point? I was like, what if these numbers... I was just like, I was like in the sense of like, what's the point? Like, I'm doing all these sorts of doing these documentaries.
Oh, I see what you're saying. You took it the wrong way.
Yeah. And I'm looking at it going, numbers are getting worse.
No, the reason why the numbers are going up is because people like you are out there telling people that you've got to put your hand up when you feel bad. Mentally.
Yeah, I don't think it's...
Put your hand up, going to admit when you need help. And, you know, it's like what I was talking about my brother recently, who was going through a rough time. And it took him quite a while before he put his hand up and say, look, I need help here. You know, I need something outside to...
But it's interesting, isn't it, that your first introduction to suicide was a woman?
Who
were you saying it was your nan's?
Oh, my mum, yeah.
Was it nan's friend?
Yeah, yeah.
Woman?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
And a lot of people in those times, their first introduction to suicide was female.
Yeah, yeah.
So, again, that's a question that comes into... I think it all ties into this masculine, feminine thing.
It does.
Like, okay, so like masculinity, right? Like you go to flipping... I don't know if you've ever been. You've never been to Korea, have you?
No.
So Korea, right? So that's like... You've done Japan and all that.
Yeah.
But Korea, the biggest thing, right, is skincare. Like, and makeup.
Right.
Male makeup.
Right. Male makeup?
Male makeup.
Really?
Yep.
But what's the difference? I don't get this. What's the difference in male makeup and female
that
makeup?
That can be
a difference. What is it?
That can be a difference because I think hormonally.
No, that's rubbish.
Of course he can.
Like, no. Well, he can. Okay, well, you need different makeup. No. When I use makeup, I go into Shirley's drawer and I pick her makeup. That's what I do. And I nick it.
What? You use mum's makeup?
Yeah. If I'm going to do a little bit of TV and I know they're not going to have a makeup artist there, I go straight into Shirley's drawer. There is no difference between men and female makeup. The only difference, I'll tell you what the difference is, the pot they put it in. The pot they put it in is, for a man, is kind of this grey, horrible thing that you leave on the side that you don't want to really look at. But girls have pots that are beautiful.
All right, well, what about this then? So the one of the biggest differences, men have larger pores than women, making them more prone to breakouts and skin imperfections. As
right.
a result, men's makeup often incorporates ingredients that can blur pores and provide a smoother, more even skin texture.
Oh, that's rubbish.
That's not rubbish.
It's all the same. So men's makeup is thicker. Like plaster.
You can't
and you have to plaster it on over the big holes.
But this is what I'm saying. You can't, like, and again, it comes up in this conversation with masculinity or femininity, stuff like that. There still comes down to the fact of DNA.
Yeah.
And there still comes down to the fact of, like, man against woman.
Of course it does. It comes down to the fact I think that a lot of it is, like I was saying, is built in when we're kids.
But that's what I mean.
How you change it yourself.
Your DNA is that of a man, you have bigger pores than mum.
Yeah. So,
therefore, your makeup would necessarily have to be different.
No, it's not. It's the same. I use mum's makeup. It still covers my pores.
Yeah, but you're not getting it.
I am getting it.
You're not getting it.
I am.
It's worse for you. So, of course, they're going to bring out a men's range of makeup.
Well, what's that? Oh, you're winking at me in case I get a deal, a men's range deal.
No. You should do, though.
Yeah, I should do.
There are a couple of choices that try.
See, I like the idea of men using a little bit of makeup.
They tried it. They tried it. There's a couple of brands out there that try it.
Yeah, I like the idea of men using.
I think we are miles.
I grew up with it.
We are miles off it.
Yeah.
Like, we are, like, again, it's the same thing. It's the exact same conversation that I think when.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing. If you are a man and you are putting on too much makeup to look almost feminine, then it doesn't really work. If you're a man who is just covering up some blotches on your face, then it's perfect.
Yeah. Why do you think it doesn't work the other way? Because people aren't accepting of it as much.
People don't accept it as much. You know, but if you're young and that's how you want to use it, then that's great.
Yeah.
Right? Like my friends used to.
Yeah. Right?
But if you're a man nowadays and you want to cover up blotches and make your skin a little bit smoother, I think it's perfect.
Yeah. Have you seen the new thing that I don't know if you've seen these yet. Mum doesn't wear them.
What?
Mum doesn't really have bad skin. What? You've seen these stars that people put on their faces now?
What? Paper stars?
Yeah, like stickers.
No.
They're like spot stickers.
No, they're not.
Yeah.
Let me see this.
These are what girls and boys wear these days.
What, you stick them on a spot?
Yeah.
Why not just try and get rid of the spot?
No, but that is getting rid of the spot. It's got
like just telling people you've got spots.
What's it got on it? Has anyone ever used them?
Oh, I see. So it's got some medical.
Anyone ever used them? So the sticker has got like a healing agent in it.
I quite like that.
Yeah. It's like a compied.
So, but would you wear them?
Yeah, I don't.
To
really
go
get
out
spots.
In?
Yeah, I wouldn't care.
Yeah, yeah.
If I had it on my face.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good idea. I mean, I wear those plasters. No difference to this. I wear those plasters across my nose. You know, to open my sinuses up.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing, really. Exactly. And some days, if I'm like really congested during the day, then I will put that on during the day and walk out. And I'm not bothered.
Mum says you're addicted to them.
I'm addicted. It's so lovely. Well, when I was a little baby, when I used to go to bed, I used to get the end of the sheet. And if it was nice and hard.
Put that up your nose.
Put that up my nose and stick that. And that was the only way I could go to sleep. I am addicted to those kind of fresh air.
Mum always used to say, you're addicted to them. You're addicted to the hay fever nose spray.
Oh, I don't tell that anymore. That's awful.
Yeah, but you're also addicted to, you used to do it when I was a kid, the old bass.
Yeah.
Old
but
bass.
That burns all your nose, doesn't it?
Yeah, but you were there.
Yeah, I know I was.
Like, you still do it now.
I don't do that now.
I know you do. I've seen you do it.
No, I don't. No, I've given it up.
That's what I'm saying.
I know what you're talking about. You're talking about the spray, the decongestant spray.
And that
is so awful for you. You become addicted to that stuff.
No, but those little sticks. What about those little sticks?
Yeah, but you become like tampons, anything like, yeah. You put up your nose and sniff, you become addicted to. You do. Oh. Anyway, we have come a long way today.
Let's leave it there. Thank you so much to Andrew for sending in that question. Look, I mean, masculinity, we ain't gonna define it for you here right now, but we had a good stab at it.
Oh, I enjoyed that. It was quite sensible. Yeah. For
also,
us.
I realised that I can do a really 5 out of 10 Andrew Tate impression, which I don't think I'll ever want to use ever again.
No.
Or we could just make him say some ludicrous stuff. Thanks so much for listening to FFS. My dad is Martin Kemp. Podcast with myself, Roman Kemp, Martin Kemp as well.
On TikTok, Instagram and Twitter. Or X, as we call it now.
We're not on X.
We're not on X?
No.
Oh, let me do that again then.
Yeah, go on.
On Twitter, Instagram and TikTok.
No, you just said Twitter again.
Oh, right. On Instagram, TikTok and X.
No.
On Twitter, Instagram.
No.
Oh, no.
On
Instagram, TikTok and... what's the other one?
Go on. Where do we put the videos?
YouTube.
YouTube.
Hey.
That's it. And what are they called?
FFS, My Dad is Martin Kemp.
No. Fucking.
What? No. That's what they're called.
It's not.
What's it called?
What's
then?
The handle?
FFS, yeah. My Dad is.
There you go.
Hey.
There you go. That's it. Yeah. Yeah, you can see us. Full video is released on YouTube every Wednesday. Make sure you hit follow, subscribe wherever you're listening to or watching. Always means a lot. So thank you very much. And yeah, send us in any messages. The topics that you never spoke to your parent about, you know, mum, dad, guardian, whoever you want, right? And we'll see if we can give them a chat here. All right, see you next Wednesday.
Right, see you next week. Ro, remember that fart you got to show me, right?
Oh, yeah. 3 seconds.
Yeah.
I will. Sponsoring this series of FFS, My Dad is Martin Kemp, is Norwegian Cruise Line, or NCL for short.
Yeah, now listen, Ro, because I know a thing or two about ships.
Oh, here we go.
Norwegian Cruise Line has been a trailblazer in shaping the Caribbean cruise experience as we know it today. As the first cruise line to offer weekly departures from the Caribbean, NCL revolutionised the industry, right? Making this stunning region more accessible to travellers worldwide. From pioneering the concept of exclusive private islands with Great Stirrup Cay to developing new ports across the Caribbean, NCL's legacy and expertise have solidified its position as a leader in Caribbean cruising.
I mean, wow. Where have you pulled that from? I mean, look, okay, fine. You know a thing or two about ships. I'll take that. Now, one thing, though, that really stood out to me. Did you say private island?
Yeah, I did, Ro. NCL was also the first cruise line to pioneer the concept of an exclusive private island with Great Stirrup Cay.
So you get to actually go to a private island. That's insane.
With NCL's new package, you can now get even more out of your cruise holiday. Norwegian Cruise Line offers more with its brand new More at Sea package. More to see, more to do, more to enjoy. FFS, My Dad is Martin Kemp, is an Insanity Studios production. The head of production is Charlotte Mason. The head of digital is Ed Buckley. And the production assistant is Abby Sandler.